Call the committee meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, July 18, 2018. The time is 5:30. Those present are Stanley Stern, Denise Loth, Fred Miller, Rob Page is out of the country, Kathy Snowden is here, Will Nathanson is excused, and Carrie Gustafson is present. Douglas Don, our council liaison, is present, and so is Nina Williams. I'd like to go to the approval of the minutes. You'll see there we're approving two sets of minutes, the May 16th meeting and the June 20th meeting. The June 20th meeting, I've added an addendum of the presentation by Jen Lurie to the minutes because it really wouldn't see the light of day for our community any other way. So whether people read it or not, it's at least in there.
I just didn't print the presentation since it was 63 pages.
I know. We don't blame you at all.
This is available on the
Time's
cloud.
We understand. I'll take a motion for approval of the minutes on May 16th and June 20th.
So moved.
Is there a second? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I had one question about that. Is there other than the PDF that you send, is there any other way for anybody to access that presentation?
Yeah, it's on the website underneath your action. When you go to your iBisbee page for the action agenda, it's attached to those minutes.
Okay, good.
Thank you. The next one is a discussion I really want to have. It's a discussion regarding the proposal of Local First Arizona that would allow the Bisbee Committee to accomplish two goals, bringing about cohesiveness in the business community and slow the economic leakage that is occurring in the community. I had a long conversation with Kimber Lanning last night. Fred had written up, I had taken the first crack, and then Fred took a better crack at a proposal, which was everything we discussed. Kimber is interested in working with us on it. I've asked her to come up with pricing for this, understanding that it was probably a year process. Our job will be to sound out Freeport to see if they would have interest in this type of proposal and funding it. And I've reached out for Robert Quintanara. I realize that there are other people at Freeport that have to be talked to. My sense from some scar tissue is that you start first at the local level and work your way up.
If you're going for $10,000 and under,
Robert can,
He works with Jesse up in Tucson.
I don't know if we're going for more than $10,000.
That's a whole different kettle of fish.
The beautiful thing is you're in the grant process.
In the foundation.
Yeah. Kimber Lanning has a very good relationship with them, and they fund her. Having said that, I've said we're cautiously optimistic that we may be able to get some funding. I have to see what kind of numbers she's going to come back with. If she comes back with more than $10,000, then I realize we're on a different track, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that track could be more difficult, Carrie?
Well, I think you have to. Yes, it is, because you have to have a grant writer and somebody to administer the grant and somebody to do the follow-ups on the grant.
And it has to be in the grant cycle.
Yes, the grant cycle is submitted at the end of August and you'll hear about it in January. Whereas the social investment funds, I think that's what they're called, for $10,000 and under, can be submitted at any time and there's a 30-day turnover period.
Is there only a year for the use of that money?
It's once a year.
So we could do...
We could do part of it 1 year, part of it another. We just have to see what she comes back.
We have to see what her number is.
Is there any money in the budget for community development at this point?
Well, I think the budget was left at $10,000 specific for economic development, though there's a contingency of $30,000. It's kind of a compromise, which means that it could be used for any purpose, but anyway, you'd have to go to council for approval.
See, I think we can fund economic leakage through the city council. I don't think we can fund cohesiveness of the business community through the city council. I think that's something that the business community has to take on. My real conversation with us, all of us, is do we want Kimber Lanning to serve as a consultant to our committee versus the forming of other committees, or do we want to form other committees? I mean, we and our committee represent some of the business leaders of our community and are some of our civic leaders of our community. And I'm wondering if, what do you think if Kimber Lanning would consult with this committee, or should there be another committee established? And I really would like to ask you how you'd like to play it, because it's important in getting back to her with what we really want to have.
Are we which issue are we speaking of? The economic leakage or?
The whole kit and caboodle.
My impression lately is people really don't understand what iBizB does. We were likened to BizB Vogue on Facebook, where, I mean, I'm sorry,
his face dropped. Go ahead.
Number one, you don't draw a salary, and number two, but I see a lot of people really confused about what iBizB is. So I think it might be kind of good whether we have her consult with us, but to get maybe some more community members
to add on to our group
involved, just because we need some buy-in. I think we're getting a bad rep, and it's really. Have you seen some of that, Fred? Yeah.
I've only seen a couple.
You don't do Facebook.
Once in a while. I learned that you press view comments, and I went, whoa. Yeah. I don't want to do that anymore.
I understand where we've called it an elitist group. Well, frankly, we are. I don't want to be funny, but our composition is the leadership, some leadership in our community. And that's good, because we get things done. Secondly, we could augment our committee with people who would have interest in this. I'd hate to see a committee of 20 people or something like that.
That's too hard to
manage. You can't. It's unwieldy. Yes, ma'am.
As I understood it, and I'm still trying to figure it all out, what I'd like to see our part as iBizB would be to help organize a separate entity, to establish what we talked about as sort of a chamber, Arizona Local First kind of unit that is not necessarily us. It would be like we went to the branding to establish a group that could do it. We positioned it so that it could happen. And I think that we have that same function here, is to work with Kimber to a certain point to position it to happen. Does that make sense?
It does.
And that's what I would see our function as. I'm not a chamber kind of person. I know that we discussed a lot about, well, do we have to have meetings? Do we have to have this? Do we have to have that? And the chamber going up and down and up and down in this community to the point where it's no longer really existing other than a phone number that someone answers if you know it. So I would like to see us basically facilitate this happening and working with Kimber to make that happen, but to start bringing in other people to form that core group.
Denise, what's your thoughts?
I like Carrie's idea.
Fred, what do you think?
Well, it's a conundrum, actually. there's been two, maybe three main attempts to get the business community organized and cohesive. Mm-hmm. The first was the chamber, and that slowly went downhill over a 10-12 year period. It lost the confidence of the people that were supporting it. So another organization started up called Better BizB, which had some impact for a while and represented quite a few people, not only in downtown Old BizB, but throughout BizB. But that too faded. I was an integral part of that, and that faded because people don't want to go to meetings. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have and we had a very loose structure. So part of me says that there's a significant number of business people that don't want to be organized. Mm-hmm. They don't give a shit. I mean, literally, about the bigger picture of BizB and getting business to BizB. You know, what's in front of them, what's right in front of them, that's true. The other thing is, I don't think the committee, it's our job to organize businesses. What I would like to see, I think that iBISB should be a consultant to Kimber Landing and Local First. That's how I think that the flow should be, rather than the other way around, Kimber as a consultant to us.
I indicated to her that we were looking to her for her leadership, that we needed a change of face in operating this. So I was tracking with your thoughts about that. The mechanism of making that transition is a thing that we would have to be picking up on Carrie's idea and Kathy's, would be the piece that we'd have to do. I mean, we'd have to make that transition.
I think the reason the chamber failed was, what was its purpose? It never identified its purpose. And I don't think any organization, a business organization, is going to, you know, go into the business community of BISB and say, okay, be cohesive.
Well,
this is like, you know, American politics thinking we can go into Iraq and say, now you have a democracy. I don't think that's going to work. But I think if you focus on a few common or interests and really start to strengthen working together on those.
I totally agree with what Fred said. BISB After Five has been going on since 2009. And we used to have a planning meeting for the few people. There's always like 35 members. Okay. But we'd have a planning meeting for the 2 to 4 people who wanted to come to the planning meeting. And about 4 years ago, I would come in early for the meeting and nobody would show. So we haven't even had planning meetings. I'll call, you know, for example, I'd call and say, hey, Fred, do you want to do the advertising on Channel 4 again? And I've got a little steering committee and I just call them up. We make a decision and do it, and we just keep doing BISB After Five. The merchants send in their press releases, but they don't want to go to meetings, and I honestly think he's hit it on the head. And there's more diversity in the merchants now. It's less cohesive, I think, than it was 5 years ago.
Seems like it.
You know? I mean, in fact, there's little areas that are being developed, like the subway underground, you know, the Gulch. And I mean, I know they've always been identified, but now they're identified as like business districts. So there's some changes going on, and I do think people don't want to go to meetings.
Okay.
But I don't think we're saying something totally different.
No, I mean, I disagree with you about the chamber. The chamber was very clear what they were doing.
Yeah, there's
representing
a national
businesses. They were doing events for business, you know, and what it ended up to be is they did events to buttress their budget.
But they spent it all on full-time employees.
So that building was sold and that money was used for the chamber, and then when the money was gone, the chamber went. So I don't think there's, you know, chamber.
No, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about facilitating some kind of body to help bring a, you know, a little more coherency or communication or whatever words you want to use into the business community.
Well, you know, I think there's certain things that Kimber could do in conjunction with us, and one is just a normal newsletter, a communication network.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, an email newsletter and stuff. We did that with some success in the past, and that's good. You know, I'm kind of the wrong person to talk about this because I'm burned out on it. I really am, you know, and I'm kind of bereft of ideas anymore about kind of what to do. And the more, you know, I was thinking about this afternoon, the more we talk about the business community and stuff, the more we get away from economic development.
That's why we can't use any money. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I would like to continue on with Kimber Landing in some form. And she's good. She's very, very, very cautious about coming in from the outside and doing something to a community. That hasn't been their way. They had big successes in Cottonwood, but they did it in a way that was not imposing from the outside. So I think she's the person to do anything if anything can be done. And she, as an outsider perspective, she can see the weaknesses and the strength of BISB better than any of us here, even though we've been here a long time, I think. and we know the ins and outs and stuff, that she can see the overall picture, I think, a little bit better than, or certainly better than I can.
I also think that it's not just the business community, it's how the city and the business community interact. You know, and I think that's what Kimber said in her original report, was the city and the business community.
Right.
And there are problems. And I've seen them for 13 years I've seen them. No posting, no parking signs, and then people having to move their cars in the middle of the day. You know, no notification that Main Street's going to be closed for an hour and a half.
There's not a lot of coordination between
None.
The city and the...
None.
And one of the things that you would like to come out of this is the business community speaking as a voice to the local government, saying this is what we'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. Because I think, you know, I've been reading about what... You know, there's a problem with rural cities and towns. You know, people are leaving towns, young people are leaving, they're not coming back, there's not a lot of development, they're losing stuff. There are some towns that have, and cities that have done better at retaining stuff. And I've been starting to do stuff, I'm going to try to do a whole article on it. But one of the things that was clear from all the ones that have been successful is that there's a unified vision from the business community, in addition to getting everybody on board about what the message is going out for economic development, whether they're trying to attract businesses, whether they're trying to expand businesses, whether they're trying to get people to come in there, whether they're trying to engage high school students and young people and how to do that. But the vision, the overall arching vision, is something that people agree on. And obviously not everybody, but the...
But in Bisbee, how do you get from where we are to there?
I don't know. I mean, Kimber Landing is certainly one way to get there. And
Kimber Landing offers being a neutral vehicle to us.
But we have to somehow come up with some kind of cohesive pathway.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't think that our two discussions are that dissimilar in using us to try and find that pathway, but using her as the expertise to help make it happen.
Maybe what we do is visit with her as part of the contract, initially laying out how do we, if I'm hearing everybody, and jump in if I'm not, you're looking at how do we transition an iBisbee idea to local first to be the implementer of that idea. Is that where we are?
I'm not even sure we're there yet, because to me, we have discussions that continually go in circles, which tells me we aren't finding mm-hmm. a way out of that yet. We're still discussing on this one level, and the outcomes are out here, and we're not going up there. I mean, I'm just keep getting confused, and we seem to say the same thing.
Okay.
And I'm not the one. I run a nonprofit. But I'm not an economic development expert.
I said to Kimber last night, I said, this may sound sophomoric, but we need someone to hold our hand as we work through this. And what I'm hearing is, as I sit here and listen to everybody, is that really is what we need. We need someone who's been through this, and she has obviously done a good job in Cottonwood and doing work in Pine Top, to guide us. And maybe we need guidance of how do we really do this? How do we make this happen? To go in circular conversation leads us absolutely nowhere. But to use her truly as a consultant to the committee initially and then branching out.
But use her as a consultant to go from where we are now to try and form a Bisbee business voice that's a little
exactly.
more cohesive, that can speak for the business community.
Yes.
Okay, well, that already gives us one goal.
Gives us what?
Gives us one goal or one direction to go
Absolutely.
In. And then how we get there would be, we would be relying on Kimber, and then we go back to where we help facilitate this to happen.
Right. Then we may end up with Kathy's idea of the augmentation.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need first is a...
I can see that.
Is a way of how we proceed in making this happen. And my idea is instead of us going through circular conversations from meeting after meeting, is to work with her as a true consultant. She's got an experience in this. She's done a good job. Denise did some checking about Cottonwood, and you found positive things. Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. My new neighbor lived there, and they said they did a great job. A lot of good things. And then the night before, they had a pub crawl, so he said it was a lot of fun.
But I can see with the goal, instead of talking about cohesiveness and all of that, of creating a voice for the business community, that would be a cool goal. And that's already taken my understanding of this beyond just going around in circles.
Exactly.
So I like that idea a lot. And again, it's kind of what our two conversations merged are saying.
That's true.
You sound like Trump. About I don't that. Like that at all. I mean, I like that. No.
Oh, you're not my friend.
You know,
if you say that to me again, I'm going to slug you.
If you have that coming
out,
ladies. See, that can lead to good things. That can lead to the business community not only wanting to have serious coordination with the city, which is one piece, but it may lead to the business community looking at the schools and saying we need to really concentrate on X. But giving the business community, which is the viable source of this town, a voice.
I can see that. And then so instead of like having the next meeting, instead of having item number two reading, bring about cohesiveness in business community and slow economic leakage, to go straight to this Arizona Local First Consulting and helping us build a pathway to create this more unified Bisbee voice.
Yeah, you're talking about unifying the business community. Mm-hmm. Kathy, you've been in the business community for 13 years. What do you think?
It's hard to see how we're going to do that. I guess that's why we need
Kimber.
Because, as I said, it seems a little bit more scattered than it was 5 years ago. And I think it's because we're getting business owners that are more serious than they were 5 years ago. It's like they're not renting a space for $200 a month and closing 90% of the time. It's not as bad as it was then. And people have their own opinions. You know, some of them came from another place, and, you know. But
you have opinions because you worked with a good merchants association in mm-hmm. San Diego.
Yeah. But I just don't see that here. I just don't, you know, I mean, and everybody was involved. I mean, the guy with the used car lot was involved. The restaurants were involved. Everybody.
Well, I can see that sort of this discussion before we go back in circles again is to talk to Kimber about that. How do we get from where we are now to building kind of a voice that can be heard representing the business community, and how can iBizBee help make that happen?
To facilitate that.
Yeah.
And some of the economic leakage stuff, and I don't know when it's going to come out, but Rachel's been working on, what's it called, Mythbusters. But I've never seen it distributed. And one way to stop...
I think there's been one or two emails.
I've not seen it go out to the community.
The only thing I saw was that handout they gave.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone else has seen it.
It was hard to read.
It was where they compared Ace Hardware
to Amazon,
to going to Lowe's or something, and how you had to drive this far. And the first step in stopping economic leakage is getting people to buy stuff in Bisbee that's here already.
Well,
the second step is getting stuff that we need that's not here.
But I think if you create this business voice, they can start looking at it as a whole business community.
But economic leakage is more about the consumer than the business.
Well, right. But the business community is serving as a catalyst to bring people into town to buy locally. Fred, what do you think?
Well, I think Rachel is working on, I know she's going to go over to Sierra Vista and get some pricing and stuff, so she's working on that. People mm-hmm. complain about Safeway prices, but Safeway prices are the same wherever they are because they advertise.
No, they're not.
Kathy,
they're not the same.
Kathy,
they have to their advertising,
Kathy,
is all Southern Arizona.
I only bet nickels. Fair enough. That's the only mm-hmm. amount of money I ever bet are nickels. I will bet you a nickel that we find out that the pricing in Sierra Vista is the same as in Bisbee. Would you accept the bet?
Based on experience, he doesn't pay out his nickel.
Yeah, well, I'm not real worried.
Sure.
Would you accept the bet? Sure. Okay, we have a bet on the table. We have five other people who are witnessing the bet.
I like the
okay.
idea of a voice.
I like the voice. I know she was going to do this that last week or something like that. She's kind of mentioned it.
But I think that's a start to the leakage issue.
I mean, it's finding out where, of the stuff that we do have here.
Right.
What is the difference?
It's like people still say we don't have any clothing shops, and we've got like four or five clothing shops.
And I think we have to do.
I invested in Pantera on Saturday.
We have to do is promote. We have to promote, in terms of the leakage, we have to promote to the people in Bisbee that we have these things.
Yeah, we do somehow get it out there.
But I think that could be, once you have a stronger voice from the business community, I think you can start addressing that. I mean, for me, Safeway isn't so much prices as, quality and expiry dates.
You won't get a bet from me on that one.
But maybe with a stronger business voice, it's not just one person going and talking to them. The economic leakage, I mean, Rachel has impacted me. I try here first, and if I can do it, I will.
Try who?
Try to buy locally first.
Yeah.
I've invested a lot of money for my pergola and all that here because, I can say, okay, I'm going to save $150 bringing it out, but then there's delivery.
Right.
So that's opened my eyes. But I think instead of trying to parse out all the little issues that are going to come up, let's build this and then let that voice decide on what
take
issues
it, take it upon themselves to make it happen.
You know what used to be a good tool? Was that Channel 5 that Margaret Dillard
had?
In the old days, for very little money.
Channel 2.
Or Channel 2.
Yeah. Channel 2.
You could have a little commercial. And people, it's like KBRP, people would just sit and stare at the TV. Mm-hmm. And you could promote what you had.
But
most
people have satellite TV now, don't they?
Right, but I'm just saying when we first came here, that's kind of how we let people know we were here and what we were carrying.
That was a useful method.
Right, and it's really different than a hard copy black and white newspaper.
Let me summarize. We're going back to her, and in terms of the business community, we're looking to build a voice within the business community.
A stronger voice.
A stronger voice within the business community, which really gets back to the cohesiveness of the community. But I like this idea. Now, number two, on economic leakage, there I think we partner with her.
Let's just do this one.
Okay.
And I think Rachel's already making some inroads on economic leakage, but we're a small committee. Let's just focus on this one and see if we can get that done.
Okay.
And then if there's a stronger voice out there, we can talk to, saying, well, what do you think about this economic leakage? And look at the impacts of it in terms of the sales tax and services that the city provides and all of that. I would just like to just find one thing that we can
achieve.
Can have a measurable outcome, that we can say, look, we've done something, or not, or we tried it and failed, whatever the outcome is. But I'd like to just focus on one thing and not start off too scattered.
Okay.
Because we started off with 64 ideas.
That makes sense.
Bring it to one.
Does everybody agree?
Yeah, I do agree with that.
I do too.
Denise?
Yeah.
Kathy, where are you? Are you in agreement?
Doug?
Seems like we're spinning.
Doug, where are you?
He's asleep. Wake up!
Now, these guys are already on vacation. Look at their shirts.
I know.
Doug, where are you on this?
No, I'm looking to you all here.
Okay.
This, right?
Okay. And then I think because as we address economic leakage, there I think we again use her leadership.
That's going to come out
It's going to come out.
Yeah.
So they're already working.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. We're just pointing.
I ran into Robert Carrera. Remember the table he always used to have and the Outlook publication about things that are being purchased outside? He said that the money's not in the college anymore to do that. So the most recent one I found was like 2013, okay. 14. Yeah. I mean, it's still pretty consistent because we even had Alco then, and it was still electronics and, you know, CDs. And, but yeah, because I ran into him and I said, "Ooh, do you still get that information?" Because it would be helpful. I mean, if it was already compiled, you know. Well,
the one thing that people keep mentioning is buying office supplies and stuff. Mm-hmm. My understanding is she does not want to expand.
Well, Jim is retiring. He's wants to get out of it.
I don't know.
I'm selling that place.
Are you?
Anyone want to buy it?
So, and Cecilia's just working 2 days a week.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know.
And she just works. You know,
it's an opportunity for somebody, though.
It's really
an opportunity.
That's one of the problems, is that there's opportunities here, and we're not having people take advantage.
And see, they're going to sell the building.
If somebody could move right in there and just take it over and expand it, it would be wonderful.
And if they were more state-of-the-art
history of it.
Computer guy.
Cecilia formed a business a number of years ago, and then Jim's Electric bought her out. Mm-hmm. That's the history of it.
It is.
So Cecilia acted as my secretary for 25 years.
Oh,
she's amazing.
She's awesome.
Well, she's lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And kept her mouth shut the whole time. So, I mean, that was the beauty of it.
But let's go to agenda
item
number 3.
Okay, I'm
going to
move to number 3.
We'll let him.
Okay, but we had a conversation, and we came up with a goal. Mm-hmm. So I'm pleased with that. Discussion of possible action regarding the trails project. We are reaching out to Robert Quintanar. We want to have a discussion with him. They obviously have a goal of showing the progress they've made on working with the soil and doing their work to rehabilitate where the mining project was. The Galena Trail shows that beautifully. If that is a high point, maybe we can work with him. I've had a couple thoughts, and they're just thoughts, and he may veto them all. One, if that's important to Freeport, maybe one of their guys can serve as a guide on the weekend. I mean, just a thought. I don't think it's economically feasible to ask a company to run one trail. I just don't see that being profitable. And I don't know if we want to charge people. So what we've done is I've reached out to him. Fred and I are going to sit down, and Doug, you're welcome too, and talk about this with him and see what their objectives are. And we may go absolutely nowhere except we have a beautiful trail that would be nice to expand. Fred, you got any other comments?
Yeah, a couple other things. One is that if there was an organization, and I don't mean Carrie because she's maxed out, that could, as a side hustle, do trail guidance. Mm-hmm. And the person I'm thinking of, and I didn't think about it until after I talked with her, and I'm going to talk with her again, Serena Sullivan, who has her sustainability, I forget what overall arching.
Who are the young girls that are opening up this?
Yeah, I know that down over by the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
There's another. We gave them a grant. Who are those people?
Who are those
people?
I can contact them.
I've got to do my notes because they
Fred,
her
I
to
don't
the
think
Arts and Culture District.
I mean, I'm sorry. She's working Eco Oasis. It's only 6 months old.
This other group's a new group that has a focus on this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I have this vision, and it's just my own right now. But I look at tourism, and it's going more towards people wanting to experience more than just looking at things mm-hmm. or being told what they're looking at. And I'm hoping with Gallagher coming in, they need to somehow make the mine tour sustainable. And we look at tourism on trying to build the experience in Bisbee so that it's a more experiential thing. There's much more offerings there. There's more that you can pick and choose from. And my vision is to create kind of a day ticket like Disneyland. And here you can do things like, you can go on the mine tour. They're thinking of maybe doing a different kind of a mine tour. You can go, they're thinking maybe of doing surface tours.
Mm-hmm.
If we could save the Apache Powder Dynamite story, that's another piece. Go to the museum. Maybe go on the trails to see the reclamation work and the natural history, and just you have this day ticket, and you can take, you can buy maybe two different versions of it. One will give you three options of whatever you want. One will give you five options or whatever you want, and then make that ticket good for a year and transferable. And so it will encourage people to come back or to share what they're not using. And I think that really builds up this whole idea of keeping people longer with more to do and something a little bit more exciting than the standard fare. And I can see the trails merging into that very easily. I don't see Freeport wanting to get in the tourism business.
No, God, no.
Per se, so I don't think they'd want to have an employee doing walks. But I know that this has been, that the trail concept is in the Gallagher discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm not in that discussion yet. But I've talked to them a lot. I know it's in with this kind of concept is also in the Science Center discussion. But I think that's where this idea belongs. And I know it's going to take a while to get there. But I think it's better than trying to do something now that doesn't have some kind of sustainability to it. These young gals possibly, but what, Soledad,
something like that.
Yeah, the escort.
What is their? What are they doing?
They have bought some property out by the airport.
Oh God! And a lot of it's Reese's,
but it's a lot about sustainability, using natural history, the architecture, the straw buildings, you know, working within your environment.
I suggest I suggest that
it's
the Bisbee Foundation gave him a grant.
Mm-hmm. I'll follow up.
That somebody ought to find out who are these people and what do they want to do. Because,
they're bringing in an art component too. I mean, it could be that kind of more of their area because they could expand something down in there because they're talking about making nature trails down there.
Mm-hmm. I think the trails project is a project that would be delightful to have. We just have to figure out, and we've been struggling with it for a couple of years now, how in the heck we get enough oomph behind it to make it happen. And we were blocked by the attorneys from Freeport for a while. I just think we need to have a conversation with Robert. We need to find out who these women are, what is their objectives, and just see if we can't make it happen. And if we can't, then I think we just take it off our agenda.
Well, yes, Kathy. I know I'm getting old and won't live that long, but it makes sense bringing it into their package rather than having it outside sputtering along.
I agree.
And
now, whose package? You think Gallagher's package?
Well, this whole concept idea of how do we offer more and make the Queen Mine Underground Tour more sustainable?
They're not mutually exclusive. I mean, we can work on getting somebody to do trails now, and then it could be
incorporated in some kind of way.
I mean, we can, if we have any say in it, we can structure a deal so it's a 1-year deal or however that is.
Okay. Kathy? Like
one of the reasons
I remember
bringing up the trails to begin with was because we decided that we needed to have outdoor activities to compete with other places, with other tourist places. And while we've been talking about it over the last 3 years or whatever, we have pickleball courts. I think the golf course is reopening. We've got electric bikes downtown now. We've got tennis courts. I mean, we do have the beginning of outdoor activities here.
We're soon going to have bocce ball courts.
Right. And if Jen could do some kind of a visual or something of people playing pickleball and start pushing some of... it's really popular in California and stuff.
No,
Carrie's grimacing, but the point is...
No, I'm not about pickleball. Oh. I'm grimacing about how it's been used politically.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about a tourism outreach. So you can come here, there's all sorts of outdoor activities you can do, you know,
swimming.
Blah, blah, blah. There's a pool now that's open more. I think that we should be adding that already to our promotion, our brand.
I totally agree with that.
You know, and it's
and there's
like...
there's hiking trails all over.
People don't know that there's anything to do.
No, they don't. And, you know, but getting a photographer, getting Zoya or somebody to go out and photograph people playing pickleball, people playing tennis, you know. I mean, there's some serious players in town.
Something like that would be, that's something that that we could do for economic development. We'll talk with Jan a little bit and stuff and put together a little package and pay somebody to do some photography so we'll get decent photographs and stuff and put it together as this is our outdoor stuff, this is our recreational stuff. That's a good
and
idea.
And you could drive to Chiricahua. I mean, we could even put some outlier stuff. Well, being, Coronado.
I mean, that's for a long time we've tried to, and I think we are. And Bisbee being the hub.
That's exactly it.
Right.
That's the thing.
But
that's
I think we've acquired some things since we really talked about it.
Yeah, they just happened.
Yeah.
Doug, if we wanted to use some money through Jen Lurie to hire a photographer to do this type of thing, do we have to go to the council, or how do we do this?
Well, certainly your next agenda item is precisely that.
Or we see if Jen has any funding that she could use that way.
If she has something in her budget already for
we could use it, yeah.
Her PR enhancement and photographs, so we could just say, would you consider doing this instead of making it?
Yeah, I don't want to make $400
or something.
I mean, we could even add a page to the Discover Bisbee website that's outdoor activities. Yeah. You know,
that's the logical place to put it.
Yeah, well, certainly as the next agenda item, I've had an initial, conversation with Jen, and it sounds like you have as well. And certainly her reinforcing what Kathy just said, what her presentation to us, was really what really caught me more than anything is you look at the county's brochure and the promotion they're now doing, and there was a huge emphasis on outdoor adventure, and we're not participating in that. And certainly, again, I'm just brainstorming here. If we're looking at proposing a bed tax increase, and again, what I bounced off of her is that, as was true with the first percent, the 1% that we're wanting to renew, it was on, the focus was how to develop and promote Bisbee as an overnight destination. And I think there's also now room for targeting of a bed tax increase for developing and promoting Bisbee complementary as outdoor adventure hub.
I have a question. When I think of outdoor adventure, I don't think of tennis, a municipal swimming pool, pickleball, softball, these kind of activities. Well, that's actually,
I'm working on it.
I mean, I love those pictures of someone sitting up in the muleys looking down over Bisbee that they've hiked up there, or the mountain biking.
But we define that. That's,
that's what I look at outdoor adventure.
But a lot of people would come to some place where they could do sports.
Let's not get hung up on adventure.
Sports,
That's just the wrong word.
But that's not. I don't see a tourism marketing for a municipal swimming pool and tennis courts.
But you said something else that I agree, or you or Kathy said it. Bisbee is a hub to do other things. And I think that's part of the thing.
Well, there's the Huachuca Mountains, the Chiricahua, the Dragoons.
The Chiricahua National Monument. I mean, there's stuff.
Rodeo.
To go to Cochise's Redoubt. There are things that Bisbee becomes a hub. Now, Bisbee, years ago, was going to be the hub for birding. And we ran out of hotel space, and the hub eventually moved to Sierra Vista. But there's the other activity is birding.
Well, I mean, if your stuff is outdoor, as a hub is outdoor, then all the stuff that can be done that you said in Bisbee, then the stuff in the county that can be done outside of Bisbee.
People
I don't think
who are
that
active,
they're not
like,
mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
I grill outdoors. I read a book in my deck.
Yeah,
outdoor grilling. The grilling capital of southern Arizona.
I think we
go to Carrie's house.
I think we better get back on topic more.
I think we now need to go to the next agenda item. Because it's a natural transition, and that agenda item is the bed tax, and our committee backing that. Doug, do you want to speak a little bit
more?
Well,
again, I've been brainstorming with you and others that I just repeated. Certainly another option that I've heard a lot of, well, Jan is doing is so successful, let's give her more money to promote Bisbee. And I support that as well. I do think we've talked a lot about this outdoor adventure, and again, we define that. I mean, we don't. It was interesting, just my recent trip to California. It was interesting that people who were in the bed and breakfast with me were asking the, you know, the proprietors, where do I go out and jog this morning? Okay, where do I go out and play tennis this mm-hmm. morning? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yoga.
Right. This is yeah. you know the whole thing.
They love doing that. Mm-hmm.
And, people play tennis. And I also in my preliminary conversation with Jen, you know, she has added a couple people over the years in terms of her staff, and there's no reason why if she had additional money, she could not in terms of person who would dedicate some time initially in terms of developing. I'm always one who I think we need to develop our product as we're selling our product. You know, mm-hmm. too often I think we focus so much on advertising, but advertising only works to the point that we actually have a product, that when people mm-hmm. come here, we have a product and they're satisfied with that product. And again, it was very revealing to me when we opened up that brochure. The big image was somebody on a bicycle. Mm-hmm. And why we haven't capitalized on that, I don't know. I mean, and my conversation with her would be just asking her, with the help of somebody that she would hire, the focus on putting that together mm-hmm. and then promoting it. And I shared with her for the first time, you know, not only the script for the second or the trail, but also in terms of the bike thing, which I think truly really has potential.
I think so too.
But somebody needs to sit down as a representative of the city and say, how do we put this? How do we anticipate all the issues that related to that liability and so forth in terms of doing that, and before we start promoting it? We certainly have had issues that we keep avoiding discussing, and that is whether or not we encourage people to go up on the city trail or whether we just allow them to find it on their own. And that's an issue we keep avoiding discussing. People are finding it on their own.
I want to continue to avoid it, too.
What's a city trail?
Well, it's the single most exciting thing that exists in Bisbee in terms of if you're looking for someone who's staying overnight, what do I do in the morning? It's just an overview. There's a trail that looks down into Bisbee.
You're talking about Zacatecas?
No, on the high road.
You know, if you go all the way to High Road,
yeah.
there's a little parking area and there's a house there. Well, if you go up on the right side of that house, there's a trail.
Oh.
And you'll hit a fork. And one fork will go down to Zacatecas Canyon, mm-hmm. which you don't want to go to. Maybe you would. But okay. There's another fork you go, and it takes you all along the north side of Bisbee, paralleling Main Street and Tombstone Canyon.
Nice.
And it comes down, God, where is it?
I'll take you up. Sometime we got to get together. I'm surprised with your interest in this that you've not.
I have no time. I don't have any spare time, unfortunately.
But anyway, those are things that.
That's interesting.
Why in the devil? Then we're going to move up. We're going to take an action here. Why in the devil isn't that trail marked for people?
Because the liability. Right.
It's city property. Okay.
Is it all city, no county?
There was a person who campaigned to run for city council saying, "I absolutely oppose this."
Oh. And that well, that's the Zacatecas. Still,
yeah, but there's been no.
That's the only reason he ran.
Right. There's been no willingness to talk about anything. It's just that's off the table. But anyway, again, we're.
But that's not even. Yeah. Okay.
I want to get back to the agenda item.
The sales tax,
which is our committee. Supporting it or not supporting it. I talked to Doug. This adds the person coming and staying in our lodging would pay a total of 5%.
Is that right?
Bed tax. Because we're 3.5 right now, right?
We're at altogether, our tax for lodging altogether is 13.05 cents on the dollar. And I forget, I broke it out, and I forget
right here,
what it
is.
It's 0.55 for the county. It's
Hang on, I've got it. State is 5.5.
County is 0.55.
Well, we got, they pay sales tax.
City tax is 3.5, and bed tax is 3.5.
So 5.5 is county?
Yeah, state.
State.
0.55 is county, 3.5 is city, and 3.5 is bed.
Yeah, 13.
So at this point, the city is making 7% on the dollar per person staying, and we're now going to increase that 7.5% to 8.5%.
No, so we're looking to take the bed tax from 3.5 to 5, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. The other is the sales tax, which they also pay.
So yeah, I see what you're saying. So mm-hmm. the city and the bed tax combined together
is
the city's getting.
Don't argue with the banker.
Technically, it's extending one tax and adding 1.5 to a second tax, which will make it all together, I think, 5%.
It comes up to 5%.
Bed tax 5%.
The bed tax 5%. Do we need to forward a recommendation to the council about this?
Well, what we're going to do, if the council has a work session, I or a group of us will appear in support of this bed tax to increase money going into the tourism budget.
I also think that IBSB should write a letter that goes into the council.
Do you support it?
It certainly can do that.
Yes.
You do? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's
the church paying it.
Well, but I know, but he's a lodging owner.
It's a good question.
But nobody, I think I pointed out in one of the wires, nobody's ever booked a room because of the 14% tax.
Because every place they travel, they're used to that.
50%.
Yeah, they're getting stocked on rental cars is where it's add on. But
that's true. We would be really high, even for Arizona.
So the recommendation would be that we continue the 1% for overnight tourism. That's the recommendation. And that we would support 1.5% increase in the bed tax. Both of these do not go into the general fund.
No, they go into tourism.
They go into basically the visitor center budget.
So what was the first piece of that? Wait a minute. What was the first piece of that?
We would
continue
the 1% tax.
Extend its
that would be used for overnight tourism.
Okay.
We'll extend that. It's due to expire
terms of the utilization of the money.
Right.
Okay.
The second one would be an increase of 1.5% in
the visitor center the
bed tax. Mm-hmm.
What is this 1%? Where does that go? Just city tax?
We voted for that.
It's called it was.
Well, how do you get from 1% and 1.5% up to 3.5%?
Two different things.
Are there two different taxes?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
The bed tax is 2.5%.
Oh, it's 2.5.
Oh, I thought you said it was 3.5.
Well, it's 3.5, but 1% of it is earmarked.
There's two taxes, 2.5% and 1%.
Right.
And we are advocating to continue and extend the 1% and increase the 2.5 to 1.
Oh, okay, I thought it was 1.5.
So that would make it, 4?
Total of 5%.
It's a total of 5%.
A total of 5%.
Do I have a motion to approve that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I still have the question I've raised with you. In terms of that additional 1.5% increase, do we want to place any recommendations in terms of the use of those funds? Or will we just turn it over to her to use as she feels
I would really encourage turning it over to her and making recommendations to her rather than putting restrictions on the fund.
Right.
Who's her?
Jen.
Oh, Jen, okay.
I think we can make recommendations. Like, we'd like to see more promotion of the outdoor sports things. But I wouldn't like to see having a limitation on her.
No.
At all.
I agree with that.
Well, part of it is also selling it to the public. And certainly, frankly, my opinion was is the reason we had success in terms of the 1% increase was it was logical that the idea of developing and promoting Bisbee as an overnight destination. That's something that people could, particularly lodging, could relate to and understand.
I'm surprised it passed then.
and buy into, and I guess I still have that opinion that we need to clarify to people why this is in their best interest. Because certainly there's going to be people say out there saying, well, this is just going to go into the general fund. And
that's a whole campaign and stuff.
You're saying is not to make a restriction that has to be used for sports parks, marketing or this or whatever.
Yeah.
That it's if it goes to...
This is an increase
to the visitor center budget.
Increase in the bed tax.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What people coming into town are charged flat.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect the locals.
Unless they stay in a hotel. That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, you can either get into where the money goes into the visitor center budget and not into the general fund if you want to. I don't think that's a particularly productive area for conversation myself.
I'm going back to being totally confused. I thought the bed tax went into the tourism budget.
It does.
It does. Both taxes, all bed tax money
goes to tourism.
Tourism. It's an enterprise.
And then what kind of restriction were you trying to put on it to sell it?
No, I'm just saying how we sold it the first time 4 years ago.
Did we vote on this?
Yes. It goes on the ballot,
this was a tax to be used for the development and promotion of Bisbee as an overnight destination.
But you know what? I can't see people here supporting that. I mean...
Well, they did then.
That's part of a whole campaign. You
right.
You know, that, trot out the statistics and you talk about the money and stuff.
In terms of our committee, the question on the table is, do we support the increase of the bed tax?
Mm-hmm.
That would bring a total bed tax for monies coming into the city of 5%.
Yes. I think if you pointed out that Airbnbs would have to pay that too, that would make people like
it.
But this 5% will go to the tourism budget.
It goes into the tourism budget.
It does not go into the general
fund. Yes.
And 1% of that 5% goes to overnight.
Can I have a motion for support of this?
Let me see.
Nina, have you got this figured out?
I move that we support the extension of the 1% bed tax used for tourism, overnight tourism, as well as an increase in the bed tax of 1.5%.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We're open for discussion.
I'll call for the
question. No discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now what we'll do, Doug, we can write a letter to the City Council from the iBisbee Committee.
Correct.
Then if you have a work session,
correct,
we can appear, one of our two of us can appear in support of this.
We can all appear, you just have to notice it.
This is for, do you know the timeline for this?
Can you help me on that? Because certainly it's got to be, this would go on
in
the general election.
It's a November ballot.
But the November ballot
has to be in by end of August or something like that?
I think so. Usually Ashley handles all the election parts of that and all the time frames. I think so, but I do not know.
Okay.
I can ask Ashley tomorrow, and then I can send that out to you.
Send us out a note.
That would be good. What the timeline is for getting something on the
ballot.
The back dates.
Okay, I want to move on then to the last discussion item. I have been in contact with a group called Dudley Ventures in Phoenix.
What?
Dudley Ventures, D-U-D-L-E-Y.
Dudley Do Right?
Dudley Ventures. They specialize in financing using tax credits. The way this works is a developer puts up the building and then gets X dollars worth of 9% tax credits. Those tax credits are sold to major financial institutions, and they're sold at this point at a premium over par. Par would be a dollar, and they're sold at $1.05 and $1.10. That's how the developer gets back his money, or her money. In this case, it's a her. Her money to build the project at a profit. Now, they have a developer in Colorado. You're going to get ready, Kathy. You're going to love this. Who develops this type of property for assisted living and low-income housing. That woman is named Peggy Greenberg. They have been in touch with her. I have sent to the Dudley Ventures for forwarding to Mrs. Greenberg a copy of Ben Posner's report on assisted living. I went back and that report is better than I thought it was. It's very good. And I have put on my bucket list that we will get low-income housing in this town before I pass away. Now, I say that knowing I have cancer. So, I mean, we've got to move with some dispatch. So that's where I am.
It's a leaky bucket, that's what I got to say.
And I will continue to update our committee on this as we move forward. But let's bring everybody up to date of where we are to date. So we need low-income housing. We need assisted living in our town. There is absolutely no question. And my God, let's see if we can't make it work.
I think we need that here.
All right.
The average age is now 50 here, and it was 47 about 5 years ago.
That's right. The average age is
only 3 years, so that's not bad. We're below the curve.
And our poverty level is at 29.6.
Wow.
Well, that's key. I was going to say also the Hillcrest is going into foreclosure, and there are certainly individuals who've contacted me who are interested in that too. It's challenging as that would be.
Interested
in buying it?
Buying it or just interested?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
In developing it.
As low income.
Something.
Right.
That's something that should be mentioned to the Dudley Associates, to Ms. Greenberg.
Yeah. Maybe they could do something else with it.
I would rather have a new facility.
Yeah, I would too.
For us to live in?
It's for you to live in? You may need the assisted living portion. You never know. Hopefully. God bless. You're years and years away from even considering.
But this is what I said earlier when Dave was talking about going to the senior center Saturday mornings. And I go, yeah, but just seniors go there. And I went, oh my God, I'm a senior.
Well, certainly there's different types of developers. And the person who contacted me has a focus on restoration of historic properties. And whereas this person here is building,
new stuff.
And so, I mean, I don't know that...
There's room for both.
Assisted living, you'd really rather build from scratch.
You'd rather build the whole thing.
You have accessibility issues.
A neighbor has indicated to me
we're looking at crappy buildings.
I've had communication with him.
Okay. The hour is getting late. Is there anything going on in the community that we ought to know about?
I want to say a couple things.
Carrie?
It's happening at the museum, and I'm going to try and get press releases out on it. But about a week and a half ago, we put 17,000 of our archival photographs on our website. And it's just a wonderful thing. And it's searchable by descriptive terms. And you put in your terms, your search terms, whatever we have that has those names in it, and our descriptive field pops up. You have a descriptive field that goes with it. It's amazing.
How fun.
And the second thing is we raised money, and today we just completed a contract. We have microfilm of the Bisbee Daily Review newspapers dating back to 1902, but we're missing 70 rolls, some in the 20s and 30s, some in the 70s, and then we're missing the 80s, on up. And we got a number of donations in, and we just contracted with a firm up in Phoenix to work with state libraries to make the microfilm copies for us so that we'll have the complete Bisbee Daily Review
as a
research tool.
You're going to digitize that, though. I mean, frankly, I try to use that in terms of...
Get me about $40,000 and I'll be happy.
Well, that's the problem with the current system.
I wonder,
system.
The WIC Foundation?
I have talked with Pat. She was saying, well, they don't really have room for all their newspapers that they've saved. So I'm trying to talk them into digitizing it.
Yeah.
But it's expensive, and newspapers are losing proposition.
Yeah,
they
are.
But I planted the idea.
Hmm. Are there any other current topics going on in the city?
Yeah, I had an inquiry. There's going to be inquiry to rent a block of rooms for a month for a film that's going to be shot in Bisbee. I know nothing more about it other than that. He wanted a block of rooms. I told him I didn't do it. And I told him it's not a party place. You can't move them.
Right. Yeah.
Pictures. So that's happening in some kind of way. They're looking for rooms in October, and I told the guy, I says, man, you're going to have a hard time on the stair climb because everybody's booked already, just about. But so that's happening of some kind. I don't know what it is or anything like that.
I saw the deportation film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did too.
And I was pretty impressed with it. There were some things in there that I thought were really brilliant, and I wrote to Robert on it, mm-hmm. especially linking the censure of the deportation of 1917 with our somewhat uneasy acceptance of the deportation of hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children across our southern border. That's fine, but 100 years ago it wasn't.
Yeah, I tell you.
I think that link is interesting.
The big exciting thing happening next month is Pirates of the Wasteland.
Are we a wasteland?
It's
now?
A cosplay, you know, where everybody dresses and blah, blah, blah. So that's the second Saturday.
Second Saturday.
In August. In it's August. Friday, Saturday, Fred Sunday.
The in.
They're having. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So if you get calls for rooms that weekend, arg.
I'm gonna block them out. I've had bad stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a pub crawl every day.
Yeah.
Oh. There's, you know, it's definitely a party
not
weekend.
A good place.
Yeah.
So no rentals to him.
Do you get business?
You know,
we don't.
But the restaurants, again, the restaurants and the lodgings, they fill up, and the bars do well.
Is there anything else going on in the community we ought to know about? Okay. Are we still in a robust housing market?
We are still doing very good.
Okay.
I'm really busy. I'm real busy.
I've got the June report. There was another 15, I think 15 or 16 houses sold in June on top 15. Of 17 in May.
Yeah.
So,
In July, we had, for residential, we sold 14.
And it's not even over yet.
No.
Yeah.
And we have one under contract. We have 16 under contract.
You even sold a house to the north of us, that was a bloody disaster, and it was sold.
Yeah.
Hey, people are...
Worst house in nice neighborhood.
Yeah. And they're going really quick in Warren, and...
Warren's heated up.
Yeah.
The other thing is that it's important that houses are sold, but the secondary market of rebuilding, remodeling, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, in May, there was 46 permits Joe had.
Wow.
One was mine.
Number. Ours
burned up.
And
I haven't reapplied.
It's about $400,000 locally, and then I think we're going to see the same thing for June. It's going to be a large number of remodels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that spreads. Trying to get a contractor, a genuine contractor, to do work. They're backed up 6 to 9 months.
But they have been. The good ones have been consistently.
Well, this is good news. I don't know if we'll have an August meeting. It will depend if we have things to discuss. Because, you know, we got the key stuff we got done tonight. And we'll see. And number two, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
We just all get
second.
It
for
a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay.